I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. As has been our tradition for many, many years here at the town, Berlin Town Council, I'd like to invite everyone to join the council and Mayor and Council reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item is the approval of the executive session minutes of September 23rd. Motion to approve. We have a motion to approve the executive session minutes by Councilmember Brittingham. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Show that the vote was 3-0. And that Councilmembers Cornell and Goyas are not in attendance. Okay. Next is the statement of closure for the executive session. And that under the Maryland Open Meetings Act is to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Next is the approval of the regular session minutes of September 23rd.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the minutes by Councilmember Tindall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Again, motion passes 3-0. Next up, it's my very privileged to invite Tim Lawrence, our electric utility director, if you can come forward here.
Based on the amount of lost hours due to accidents and that type of thing. We have a lot of safety regulations that we have to follow, federal and state guidelines, because we deal with high voltage electricity. So we have a lot of rules that we have to follow. And we pay a lot of attention to detail to make sure we do it safely and correctly. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 3 of the agenda. Is that Alyssa? There we go. Okay. This is Alyssa Bluth, a resident of...
Yeah. Should I sit here?
Yes, yes. Okay. And like we have to be reminded, have the microphone pointed at you.
Okay.
Good.
And just if you'll state your address and name.
My name's Alyssa Maloof. I live at 25 Burley Street.
And we want to have a party. Okay. All right.
We love our block. We love our neighbors. And we just want to have two ends of the street shut down because we have a lot of little kids on bikes. And we just want to have a little party.
No, if you could say when and all that.
It would be October 27th.
But everybody attending does it.
Okay, it would be October 27th, which is a Sunday, from 3 to 7.
Okay. And basically, I think the application says they have some live music.
Yes, and two bands. And they're both bands live on our block, our street.
So they don't have very far to travel.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And potential yard sales, it's up to the individual households if they want to do that.
Okay, there's games for kids and all that sort of thing?
Sure, nothing official yet. Oh, yeah. But no vendors or anything like that.
It's sort of like a BYOB. Everybody brings what they can.
Sure, we were thinking about each doing like a chili or something like that, but nothing's in stone
like
yet.
A church supper.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. And this will be the first one?
That I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I've heard there have been other street parties, but I don't know. I've only been there for 2 years.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
It's hard to remember everything that happened over the last 151 years.
Yeah.
but the town has a good reputation for people having a good time together, and especially neighbors getting along well.
Yeah.
Is there any folks here from Burley Street who wish to say anything or support or this application?
I would also like to have a good block party on Burley Street with all of our neighbors.
And this is because everything is recorded and it's also so people listen through the internet. If you can just say your name and address.
Andrea Cannon, 24 Burley Street.
Thank you.
And the gentleman in the back.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
My name is Nate Reister. I'm on 34 Burley Street. I kind of hold the end of the block. And I'm also in support of this party. I've talked with numbers of our neighbors, and I think that it's pretty much consensus. So we're very excited to start, hopefully, what becomes an annual thing for us.
Great. Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Alyssa?
The town services you need are with trash can and barricades?
Yeah. Maybe recycling? Recycling trash can or like a container? And that's it.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Just one question before we proceed with the motion. Uh-huh. There are, three households represented this evening, but you have made contact with the block as...
I have signatures.
Okay. How many? Households.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, not including the two bands, so 11, 12, and 13. So 13, and they're not on, so 14, 15. And I would say there's about 15 houses on each side, so half.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And I think that was very wise to have something written so that those people could... So you're not speaking on their behalf, they're speaking on their own behalf.
Yeah. Okay. And everybody's invited.
If any other questions, does anyone have any questions for us? Okay, we have a motion to approve, I think you're calling the Burley Street block party and possible yard sale.
Yes.
October 27th from starting at 3 p.m. on Burley Street.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully you have good weather.
All right. You're all invited.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next. Number four is motion 2019-28. It's a motion approving an agreement with Edward Hammond III to review all options cited in the Army Corps report and consult with him prior to the project design as it affects his property. Just so you know, the Army Corps of Engineers many years ago did their analysis of what needed to be done to manage and mitigate the stormwater problems that have been here longer than the town. And so they recommend, they, then, and us, then we started working with the University of Maryland Environmental Finance Center. And in 2013, as a result of 18 months of community meetings, multiple community meetings, the town mayor and council decided to create a stormwater utility. That has been very beneficial because it allows us to charge, think a relatively minimal cost for residents, $50 a year. And we take that money and put it aside to then apply it towards grants. But those grants are one-on-one matching grants. It's been able to produce almost $2 million in grants since we started this. That money then is done to do each phase of the project. There are two tiers. There are, I believe, three phases in the first tier, and we're on the in the third phase, especially I think in any day now, the Graham Avenue Submerged Gravel Wetlands Project will begin, and then there's one more project after that in the first tier. Then there's multiple projects in the second tier. The project that borders Mr. Hammond's property is the last project, which we call Project 5. They haven't taken any formal action, or there hasn't been even any engineering planning on it, because it's at the end. It's basically working to mitigate what needs to be done at the, I'll call the tip of Bottle Branch, which is primarily, the work needs to be done is primarily on the east side of 113. So with all that said, Mr. Hammond had a concern that, since it borders his property, I think his biggest concern was channelization, that we'd be trying to change the channel and change the flow of water, which is not in our plans at all. It's just not part of what we're looking to do. We're trying to get nature and ourselves to work together, and also to, in cases, slow down the waters, to slow down the areas where it can flood and work with nature. So what we wanted to do, after talking with him, is to come up with an agreement so that, regardless of who the mayor and council is, it'll be on the record. When someday in the future, and hopefully it's not 20 years, but maybe in 10 years, when we get to that point, then everybody will know that we will consult with him and make sure he understands what's happening, and that that basically we won't be doing anything radical, but we will be working with nature to offset the stormwater flooding caused by stormwater. And it's been part of this town's DNA for forever. But we have all gotten off to a good start, and that's what this motion is about. Does anybody have any questions regarding the motion?
I make a motion that we approve the request.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve.
Do you have one in the audience?
I'm sorry, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm Edward Hammond.
Sorry.
If I could.
Sure.
I guess that I view the memorandum that I hope will be approved now in a slightly wider scope as being one of really establishing a good neighbor relationship between myself or my heirs and the town. Because in the past, there have been, and I would emphasize it's the past now,
some
incidents involving the town having come onto our land, destroying things, or with due deference to what you just said, more recently the project, as it was described in the town's plans, was for channelization. That's what the words said on the other side of 113. So I guess, and I appreciate very much the council having sort of placed that on hold. So my understanding of this agreement is perhaps a little bit broader, and as I said before, that this will create a good neighbor relationship where the town and myself or my family will consult with one another in any activities that would impact the flow of Bottle Branch. I would be remiss if I didn't mention now that in the context of that relationship going forward, there are a couple of issues that I think need to be addressed. There is an unease drainage ditch that I would like to create legal clarity around. I'm a firm believer that the best way to preserve and encourage good drainage is to have mature native vegetation along waterways rather than mowing broad swaths. Those are both items that I don't feel that we need to go into or even act on now or next week or next month. But I wanted to mention them as things that I would like to address in cooperation with the town moving forward, in addition to the longer-term question of what happens with respect to any project that might or might not happen on the east side of 113.
And appreciate your comments, because it's how we view it as well. And this is something you have to remember. So much is happening. Every couple years, things are being discovered in this stormwater mitigation everywhere, that what was maybe a standard procedure 5 years ago is now saying, no, you need to do something different. I hope that continues to evolve, because obviously we are doing everything we can to minimize any called gray infrastructure, pipes and things of that nature, just to get the water away. What we're trying to do is do it in an environmentally responsible fashion. So I think we're all in the same, want to get to the same place. I see no reason why we shouldn't. And the key here is, I think this is a good idea to have this formalized, so that regardless of who's sitting in these seats, hopefully we'll be around for a good while. But it's a good guideline. And it's really just the formalization of what we're... It's amazing how much more people are aware of stormwater as being something that's manageable. You know, and in the most extreme situations where there's a 1,000-year storm, yes, now we might be in a position where we're basically mitigating temporary damage. But overall, people for years just had no hope. So I think, you know, we appreciate very much your interest, and hopefully the more we can learn from each other and so forth, all the better. So thank you. Does anyone else have any comments or questions? Right? I think, do we have a, need a...
Howard,
I'm sorry. That's what I was asking. Okay, so we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve 2019-28. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Again, passes 3-0. And thank you. Next, we're talking about 2019-29. This is a motion approving park events and accepting the 2020 event schedule, and making those recommendations is our Economic and Community Development Director, Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I am here once again tonight to ask for two approvals. First, for the event schedule for 2020, and second, for the approval of 6 alcohol permits for some of our events in 2020. And like I've done previously, I'd like to just read a laundry list of the events for 2020 so everyone can hear what they are. Starting with Restaurant Week, January 13th through 19th, the Berlin Little League Parade, April 18th. There is a change for Spring Celebration. The paperwork had gone out early. The Spring Celebration is actually set for April 11th. They gave that notice to us a little bit late before we could make the changes. Take Pride in Berlin Cleanup is April 18th through the 25th. Spring Just Walk is May 2nd. Berlin Jazz and Blues Wine and Brews is April 9th. I'm sorry, May 9th. Berlin Reggae Playday, there is no date set. They're waiting to hear back from a couple of the bands, but I would like to include that in the approval for the alcohol permit.
But that would be in May. It would be in May.
Correct, but they're just not sure which date in May yet.
And traditionally, has that not been on like a Friday night?
Correct.
Okay, so I'm assuming, at least in terms of our understanding of this approval, that we're talking about a Friday night.
That is my assumption as well.
Okay, and if it changes, then will you have reserved the right to?
Correct.
Do not.
Absolutely, and that'll we'll come. We'll do a separate council meeting for that, and Tom Schultes will be here for that.
Great. Thank you.
Spring Cruisers for May 16th, Memorial Day at the Monument, May 24th, Memorial Day Parade, May 25th, Concert on the Lawn, June 14th, Bathtub Races, June 19th, Historic July 3rd Celebration, July 3rd, Fireworks Celebration, July 3rd, Concert on the Lawn, July 12th, Peach Festival, August 1st, National Night Out, August 4th, Concert on the Lawn, August 9th, the Summer Sidewalk Sale, August 14th through the 16th, Shakespeare on Pitt Street, September 5th, Small Town Throwdown, September 12th, Concert on the Lawn, September 13th, Paint Berlin Plein Air, September 23rd through the 26th, Fiddler's Convention, three dates, September 25th, 26th, and 27th, Touch a Truck, October 3rd, Fall Cruisers, October 10th, Oktoberfest, October 17th, Fall Just Walk, November 7th, the Tree Lighting and Holiday Open House, November 28th, Christmas Parade, December 3rd.
I think it was 27th.
I'm sorry, what was that? Tree Lighting, what did I say?
28th.
Sorry about that. It is the 27th. The Classical Christmas, December 7th. New Year's Eve, both the kids' celebration and the adults, December 31st. The kids' event is at 6 p.m., and then the adult starts at 10 p.m.
I have a question there, because the 5 to 7, is that when the street is closed?
Correct.
But the event actually begins at 6.
The event begins at 5. We do some things for kids beforehand, but then the ball is dropped at 6.
Okay, so what I'm saying here, it just says 5 to 7, so is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
The New Year's Eve adult celebration is from 10 to 12:30. Second Friday of each month from 5 to 8, and then the farmer's market every Sunday from May through September from 9 to 1.
So I understand that we now are asking a motion on accepting this proposed event schedule for calendar year 2020.
Correct.
Okay, so that's a separate motion. Do we have anyone wish to make a motion to approve the proposed 2020 event schedule for the town of Vermont?
Make a motion to approve the 2020 events.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the events in the town of Berlin for 2020 as proposed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you. All three council members approve. Next is motion 2019-30, motion approving an exception to the ordinance 2011-11. To allow the consumption of alcohol in non-glass containers within the designated areas during 6 specified 2020 special events. And again, Ivy will be making this presentation.
Thank you again. We do have only six events throughout the year that alcohol is allowed on the streets of Berlin during the event. And those would include Berlin Jazz and Blues Wine and Brews, Reggae Play Day, Small Town Throwdown, the Fiddler's Convention, Oktoberfest, and New Year's Eve, just the adult celebration.
Does anyone have any questions for Ivy? This, to my memory, is identical to what we just did this past year.
Correct.
In terms of the
there
events,
are no changes. Correct.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the 6 alcohol events.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve the 6 alcohol permitted events in downtown Berlin for 2020. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Again, motion passes 3 to 5.
And I'd also like to make a statement. There's been some discussion about where the stage is located at some of the events. Occasionally it's down near where Finn's is, and occasionally it's up where the hotel is. And there's always been a little bit, or not a little bit, there's always been a lot of talk about the way the stage is located perpendicular on Main Street, and it creates something of a roadblock, and people don't really go past the stage. They don't think they're allowed to. 4 years ago, I moved the stage to where it is in the photo that you can see, and I had a discussion with the business owners on the south end of Main Street, and they would very much like the stage to be put back there. They said it worked really well for them previously. So moving forward, I'm going to recommend that instead of the stage perpendicular on Main Street, that the stage is parallel on Main Street, slightly between Broad Street and where the hotel is, facing the hotel.
Okay. And
there's no motion needed for that. I just wanted to make a statement.
Yeah, that's fine. And that's good. And one thing that's different from the last time that was done is now we have several...
We have 11 businesses now on South Main Street.
South of Jefferson Street.
Correct.
And that's probably 9 or 10 more than we had at that.
Correct. And I've also added additional signage. I bought some new barricades that allow for signage. And on the side facing the road, it'll have our town logo and it'll say road closed. But on the other side facing North Main Street, we'll say more shops, dining, fun, this way, with arrows pointing down both Jefferson and towards William, and also down Main Street. So people will see that and know. And also the alcohol permit allows for alcohol to be all the way down to the Welcome Center is the border.
But that's the southern border of our events now.
Correct.
Except for motor vehicle traffic is still allowed to go through.
Correct.
Okay. Cool. And then, again, that was over a series of discussions, and we had a meeting, was it just last week, with the Chief Arnold Downing and the town administrator and myself and Ivy, to just go over all kinds of details, and we all agreed that this would be the most practical and safest thing to do, that also allows for the footprint of our events to expand southward. Now, if 5-10 years from now, we may have to make other adjustments. We'll just have to see, but I'm so glad this is the kind of challenge you like to have, because it shows the town is continuing to grow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next is Motion 2019-31, approving the mayor and council meeting and town holiday schedule for 2020. And Mary, would you like to?
The list of the holidays and mayor and council meetings for 2020 is in your packet. It is unchanged from prior years, obviously, other than a few days of the week and particular dates. But this is the schedule that you've been following now for a number of years.
Yeah, for probably 2 or 3 years at least.
At least.
So the one thing I would note is that at least, it depends on how much business is before the council. Some years, not now, but later, probably in November, the council has sometimes canceled way ahead of time the second meeting in December because it's been the holiday week. We'll just have to see if that's necessary or needed.
I thought last year we canceled that at the time that we approved the schedule.
We can do that if you want.
I did go back and listen. You said in the future the 23rd, 24th, 25th would always be canceled, right. But if it was in that week, we wouldn't cancel it until we felt it was necessary. So this one happens to fall on the 28th, so it wasn't in that time frame. Just so you know.
Okay. So. Would you recommend?
I make the recommendation that since it's around that holiday, I mean, let people get home to their families, and I make the motion to approve with the exception of the last meeting in December.
And have that basically canceled.
Correct.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve the 2020 town holiday schedule and the 2020 mayor and council meeting schedule with the amendment of eliminating the meeting on December 28th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Again, the motion passed 3-0. Okay. Next, as I'm sure many folks are aware, back in early August, it seems like yesterday, we had a fire at the corner of Grace and Washington Street. And it was a garage fire that did extensive damage in the neighborhood. Fortunately, no one was injured, but the fire company had trouble getting fire equipment to the scene because they had to do, I think it was called a five-point turn back and forth, because there was some cars parked on Gray Street. So after talking to several members of that neighborhood, particularly on Washington Street, talked to myself, other council members, the chief of police, and we've asked the chief to look into the parking situation and make recommendations as to if changes need to be made and what they should be, and that's where we are tonight. Chief, whatever.
Good evening, everyone. To start off with, we've actually had these concerns even before the fire. Case in point, in 2017, the same concerns were brought up about Jefferson Street, and the town went ahead and they made parking on one side on Jefferson Street. So as a reference point, we've been to this place before. We had an opportunity to go ahead and talk to everyone that had a vested interest. We had talked to all of the neighbors that we could make contact with. Some people who were on some side streets that came off onto Washington Street. We spoke to Public Works in reference to trash trucks and other large vehicles that go down the street. Berlin Fire Department, and with their used experts such as State Highway. We used Dave, who's not here today, to go ahead and assist us with the length and sizes of certain streets in town. What we found is that Washington Street is 21 feet wide, and when vehicles are parked on both sides of the street, we only have 7 feet in the middle. When we have their speak of how wide should a travel portion of a road go, State Highway says a good reference point is 12 feet. Side parking or on parking, on street parking should be 10 feet. What we have is a great deficit on that street. Whenever you have two parties parked on both sides, it's difficult to go ahead and get a Tahoe, meaning that even our police vehicles will have a difficulty going on the street, and you will have constant head-on-head traffic. That is one of the great concerns that we have. The fire vehicles themselves, some of them are upwards of 10 foot wide, and we have to say that we only have 7 feet. So we have to know that that's going to be a problem if we have the engines that they're trying to go ahead and make it down those streets in any manner. And the fire department, they will make it wherever they need to be, even if there's going to be some damage caused to get there. We also had an opportunity to talk to folks with the recycling trucks and the trash trucks, and they were having a difficulty, and they have to actually physically get out of trucks that are supposed to go ahead and be automated to move trash cans at times to go ahead and other utilize equipment in a proper way. So we are requesting it on Jefferson Street that the south side be no parking. That would allow us to have at least 12 feet of travel portion if we have a large vehicle parked on the opposite side. We are still looking at Gray Street, which we feel that it should be no parking on that street. We've had two accidents where homeowners have backed out of that street and backed into other vehicles. And we know on the section of coming off of Jefferson Street, fire trucks can't even really get down that street at all when vehicles are not on that street. To go ahead and put one vehicle there, it's virtually impossible.
I'm sorry, Chief, you said Jefferson, you mean Washington Street?
No, off of Jefferson, coming off of that way. They try to come in that way on that day, and they couldn't make that turn. And it's virtually impossible, again, even with no vehicles there, for them to go ahead and get down that street. It's so narrow. So, again, no vehicles should be parked on Grace Street, especially in that curve.
No vehicles should be parked on
Grace.
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 A letter. Yes. Just one letter.
Right.
Grace.
But, again, we're only ever speaking to...
I've lived on both.
On Washington Street.
And so what your recommendation so far has been no parking on the south side of Jefferson Street.
That is correct.
And what is your recommendation regarding Gray Street? That's what I'm not clear on.
Well, again, you brought that up, and it was not on the motion tonight, but no parking actually on that street at all.
Well, we're just looking for your recommendations because I think everyone, And again, everybody's been so understanding and so polite and so informative. I think they're looking for us to do what makes practical sense, and we're relying on you for your recommendation. So I'm going to take that as the mayor, is that you believe the best situation would be no parking on Gray Street as well.
Correct.
Now we're up to Washington Street, right?
Correct.
Okay. What is your recommendation there?
No parking on South Side.
And what is your medium for making it known that no parking will be on Grace Street and the south side of Washington?
Well, again, the council has to go.
We're going to entertain both, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah.
They would have to go ahead and have signage and the red curb. Those are the two options to go ahead and make it illegal to go ahead and park on the streets that are acceptable.
Can I extend the... I'll make the motion, but I'd also like to make the motion that we curb, use red curbing on the north side of Washington Street in the area of turning onto Grace, and the same thing be done on Jefferson Street, because if you're in a bigger vehicle, you're going to have to swing wide, and you're not going to make that turn. And there are telephone poles and street signage. You need to have that.
Yeah. Basically, on both sides, as I understand, both sides of the T.
Correct.
Okay.
On the corners, I don't think you have to make a motion. I'll have to just have Public Works straight and take care of it.
Okay. Thank you. And I'll make the motion that we approve the chief's recommendation.
And I just wanted to reiterate to make sure we've got it right, is that you're saying no parking on the south side of Washington Street, the setbacks wherever the intersections meet with it, Jefferson, Grace, or any of those side streets, that there would be no parking on Gray Street and no parking at all on Gray Street, and no parking on the south side of Jefferson Street. Those are the three recommendations.
Jefferson Street's already been taken care of.
Washington Street.
It's just Washington only.
So what, Jefferson, is that is an example you're using?
Correct.
Okay, all right. So we have those two changes. We have a motion to approve the chief's recommendations.
I made it.
Okay, yep. Good, thank you. We have a motion by Council Member Tindall to approve the recommendations for no parking made by Chief Arnold Downing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Passes 3-0.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we'll move into our departmental reports. First is Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening. We have received a draft of our financial statements, and we're going to review and meet with the audit team sometimes at the beginning of November or end of October. We're trying to schedule the time so it suits for myself, them, and also Jeff.
Would it be your expectation that they'll be able to make a presentation sometime in November? Or?
I would say probably end of November, because it would have to go through the independent reviewer, and it normally takes about a month. So
okay.
Last year, I believe we had it in December. I'm hoping probably end of November, since we got it a little earlier.
Okay. The worst would be the first of October, first meeting in October. Okay. Cool.
I also want to remind that we will be mailing our annual contribution to Energy Assistance Fund letters that will go out with bills in the mail. And that's just a generous reminder for all the residents to donate to the fund. The monies collected from the residents will be matched dollar for dollar from the town of Berlin up to $10,000. And then we send all the funds to ShoreUp, and the ShoreUp distribute those monies back to the residents of town of Berlin only to assist with electric during the winter time.
Yeah, it's been a very successful program,
yes.
And it continues to grow, and so we're very grateful to the residents for their understanding that, particularly say winter time, there's months right after the holidays, some people just can't keep the lights on, the heat on.
And any contribution, doesn't matter of the amount, is eligible for contribution deduction on the resident income tax return. Okay.
Great, so, thank you.
As board chairman of ShoreUp, we thank the town for those funds.
Thank you.
All right. Does anyone have any questions for Natalie? All right. Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Boland.
The only thing that I have, and this is very preliminary at this point, but we will be shifting the districts 3 and 4 polling places for municipal elections from the multipurpose building to the police department. I've discussed it with the chief and went over there and took a look at the space, and I think we're going to find that it's very agreeable.
Great. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Anything that will make turnout at the polls greater is always welcome. Next is Water Resources Director Jamie Latcham.
Good evening, Council. We're gearing up to start on the Graham Avenue submerged gravel wetlands. We're getting all the pretty much crossing our T's and dotting our I's, so hopefully we'll be able to start next week.
Okay. And about how long do you think that, assuming reasonable weather?
I'd like to say a week. We could get it mostly dug out and backfilled. But okay. I mean, we're just waiting on pipe because we had to get it submitted to the engineers to get it approved. So they say it's being shipped, so that's where it's at.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And there is a 90-day completion window on that, in the contract.
We've got plenty of wiggle room. Okay, great. Does anybody have any questions for Jamie? Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. First thing I'd like to say is thank you to all the departments that participated in the Touch a Truck event at Stephen Decatur Park on October 5th. It was well attended. The picture in the newspaper of Caleb Hunter and the it's kind of like the center picture there. Pretty much says it all. The children had a fantastic time at the event. They really enjoyed it. The parents enjoyed it. And I'd just like to thank all the departments, Berlin Police, Fire Department, Worcester County Sheriff's Department, Emergency Services. They all had a fantastic time, and they all liked the event and said it was well attended. And most of them want to come back. I didn't have any of them say they didn't. So it was a great event. Right now we're kind of in maintenance mode during the fall and the winter months. We do a lot of pole replacements, tree trimming. And the big project is at the power plant. We have a temporary generator that's coming in to take the place of the generator that failed. It's going to be on the outside of the plant. It's Tier 4 rated emissions. You can barely hear it running at all. It's already been approved through Maryland Department of Environment as far as the emissions permit and all that. Other than that, that's about it.
And when did you say the temporary generator hopefully will be here?
It should be here and up and running by the end of November for us to hit the winter peaks from December, January, February, going into March.
Excellent.
And that that temporary generator is no cost to the town.
That's correct.
Thank you. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Tim? Seeing that Dave Englehart is not here, our next report will be from Community and Economic Development Director Ivy Wells.
Thank you. I've probably spoken enough tonight. I just have a few more things. I wrote a grant recently for new trash cans and recycle, and also to add cigarette butt recycling containers for our downtown corridor, and I did receive that grant. It's $10,000. It's a non-matching grant, so we do get $10,000 to be able to purchase new trash cans for downtown. And also add, we don't have any recycle receptacles downtown, so we'll be adding those as well. And we'll also be working on the cigarette butt. It's a recycling program where we empty the butts and we put them in a box and send them to this company, and I can't remember what they
make.
They make all kinds of stuff with them, which is good. I mean, smoking is bad, but, also, I've awarded a new facade grant to Unabella Salute. They had applied, and the funds will go to help them pay for a new sign and also to purchase an ADA accessible ramp for their business. I'm really looking forward to see how that works out, because I think that could be a good thing for some of the other businesses downtown. It's a portable ramp that they can move inside and put out when they need to. So I'm working with them on that. And then the other thing, I am still searching for a 14-foot or taller Christmas tree for our community Christmas tree in front of the Atlantic Hotel. So if anybody has any leads for me on a Christmas tree, let me know. And Oktoberfest is this weekend. The sidewalk sale starts at 10 a.m., but all the fun starts at noon. And there's a cornhole tournament also that the Berlin Tavern is sponsoring, and all the proceeds from that go back towards the Berlin Main Street program that we use to help with our New Year's Eve event. Great. So thank you to the Berlin Tavern for that. Excellent. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Ivy? Next is our police chief, Arnold Downing. Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking.
Ivy, what size is it? 14 foot or taller.
Okay.
Really full spruce, because we hang a lot of. We have the community ornaments that people write their names on, and we have a lot of those.
I mean, what is the height, limit of height that you want? I know you said.
Bucket truck will go 60. We can. I mean,
I'm just saying. Reason.
You know, I've been talking with Tim and Alan from Tim's department, and you know, we can put up a tree, and also, you know, we could do a good tree. But we're looking for a really. Laura Stearns with the Atlantic Hotel and I went to look at a tree that we were hopeful. But it just didn't work out.
So the range you're looking at, you're ideally
14 foot or taller.
Or taller, okay.
But less than 60 feet.
Yeah. Correct. Yes.
Great. Good. Excellent.
Good evening again. Last couple of weeks have been events. It's, again, another month of events. But we want to first echo what Tim said about Touch a Truck, and I would say the success came because it was great coordination to go ahead and get all the partners to come together. Tim, you did a wonderful job. Also, during that day, we also had the Sea Hustle Century, so we had thousands of folk that were in town, going through town, and it was a real busy day. But Sunrise took the time and stopped at the Berlin Police Department and several other places in the community. And they just up there did service for us. They went ahead and cleaned up our sally port. They went ahead and cut grass, washed vehicles. And we can't go ahead and thank them enough. And we can't go ahead and thank our faith-based partners within this community. Buckingham Presbyterian this week called and said, hey, we want to go ahead and do something for the homeless. Taylorville called up, again, stopped by my house. They didn't call. They came by and said that they have some bags with long johns, sweatshirts. They want to go ahead and get ready for the winter. So we have to say thank you for the community, for the support that we get, and for the vision that we can go ahead and assist them. If anyone has a great idea or thought, but they just can't reach out to the community or don't know who the people are in need in the community, please go ahead and use us as a resource. These fine organizations have, and they've been very successful in doing that.
Chief, do we have something in place where we can get a letter from yourself or whatever to formally thank these organizations?
Those two we're working with again and again. We gave out over 50 blessing bags is what Buckingham did last year to homeless individuals. And you would be surprised. They're not only people who live in this community. They end up being stopped in this community. What we're saying is they go to Ocean City and they go to a hospital and then cannot go anywhere else. We actually had someone from PG County that was at hospital for 3 days. We did not find out until the third day. And because we have had such great partners, in less than 24 hours, we had her on a plane going to her brother's house in Dallas, Texas. So, again, it's a community that cares, and when we have that, we can do anything. We want to go ahead and give kudos to Laurenette for the cruisers. Again, we're talking about last week being a town full of energy and excitement, and we had a lot of people, you know, within our town. And again, no problems. So we're waiting for the next event, and hopefully we'll have a break soon. That's all I have to report.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Any questions for the chief? Okay. Next is our Acting Town Administrator, Jeff Fleetwood.
Mayor and Council, I have a number of things to report on. Number one, I wanted to convey to you all and also to the citizens of the town the cost, if you will, for the prior town administrator's contract upon her departure. Just so everyone's aware, the contract that was in place ran from January of 17 through June of 2021. The contract was not paid out in its duration. Payout was actually 3 months of regular pay plus all accrued vacation and sick time. Vacation and sick are expenses that were paid out early for her. The total severance package was $68,048.89. And I know from a professional perspective, this is an extremely conservative severance package. I want to report that.
One of the reasons, obviously, we had press inquiries, which is just fine, but also there were some interesting rumors about town that that the severance was $120,000, over $200,000. The sky seemed to be the limit. So we have, you know, we just want to make sure everyone knows it's not to embarrass anyone, but it's also just part of the many ways we're trying to be as transparent as we are can be within the confines of and limits of the law.
Okay. Next, I want to bring everybody up to date as best I can with Heron Park. As everyone is aware, it's temporarily closed right now. There is a significantly scaled back RFP that will hit the paper the end, well, next week, as a matter of fact. So we're looking to have an on-site, assuming that there are some folks interested, on November 1st, and the goal would be to have the work completed as quick as possible.
So what would happen is, assuming that the RFPs come in, request proposals come in as we expect them to, then they would be presented at, once they're in and been verified and everything, then be brought before the mayor and council, and then, you know, if they are approved, then the work would begin.
It would begin as early as the end of October, or November.
Yeah, end of November. Yeah. To begin. Yep, that makes sense.
And, can you use your microphone?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. I also want to share with everyone that we did sign a new purchase power contract. Can you put that slide up, Kelsey? Mm-hmm. This new purchase power agreement runs from January 1 of 21 through 12/31 of 23. You can look through this. If you read the first bullet, residential and SGS, that's small general service. And to give everyone an idea of what small general service is, that's residential, picking on some businesses, Beach Butterfly, Victorian Charm, the small folks. And you're looking at, once this goes into effect, about on average, about a $14.10 savings in electricity per month. Bullet number two, general service. I back up, folks. Bullet number one is about $1.72 for the residential and the small. The general service customers, when we talk about those folks, we're talking about Town Hall, Island Creamery, to give some examples. We're looking at about a $14.10 savings per month. The large general service customers, those would be folks such as Purdue, the Green Mill, Food Line, Gull Creek, and the wastewater treatment plant here in Berlin. They're looking at an average of about $147 savings per month. The overall savings to the town overall is about $80,000 per year. That's what's projected. Okay, so that's good news. Okay. And that has been signed and it's been received and it's in play to take place beginning on January 1 of 21.
And Jeff, am I correct that the last two purchase of power agreements, each one has been lower than the previous?
So we're going that to, is correct. Yeah, so that is correct.
It would be the third 3-year agreement mm-hmm. that will be going down. And we thank very much our consultants, Booth and Associates, and our partners at American Municipal Power, or AMP.
And Tim.
Tim had something to do with it.
Had something to do with it. Okay.
Yeah, really. It's made a big difference.
Thank you.
And we're very much appreciative.
And I want to add something for Tim and the departmental award. So everyone knows Tim kind of like, he skirted a few things, but that award is based off lost time incidents. Okay. And that talks about workplace, and that references workplace accidents. I'm talking about to the person and workers' comp claims, and it also references vehicle incidents, okay, and equipment incidents. And Tim's run for the last calendar year was zero. Now, you take 10 employees, 2,000 hours a year, that's do the math. I mean, that's something to be very proud of. The challenge is to keep it up, okay? I also want to report that the controlled burn that's over on 137 Flower, that's still on target to take place between now and the end of the month of October. And the really good news I do want to share, everyone here is invited. On October the 24th at 12:30 in this room, one of our employees is retiring, Mike Williams in the water, the wastewater water utility. He is retiring. He's an unsung hero out at the spray site. If you've never been out there, you got to like nature. You got to like being by yourself. So Mike's culminating a 15, almost 16-year career with the town. And that's all I have, Mayor.
Does anyone have any questions for Jeff?
Okay. I don't have any comments.
I have nothing.
I have congratulate Tim. I attended the Touch a Truck for the first time with my great-grandson, and he really enjoyed it.
Okay. I don't have a
thing. All right. Do we have any comments or questions from anyone attending that? Yes.
Hi. Good evening. My name is Ruth Boons. I'm the proprietor of Main Street Deli at 10 South Main. While we are very appreciative that the stage is going to no longer block the north south view of Main Street, the businesses that I'm here to represent this evening, along with Libby, who's the daughter of the woman who owns Dream Weaver, we're curious as to why our request that the stage be placed across the Welcome Center could not be approved.
I know. Have the chief explain more detail, but it was, again, about motor vehicle access and the fact that to do that, then we would have to basically block off all the way down to Tripoli Street so that there wouldn't be a conflict of people coming up the street and then having nowhere to go. Because if we did that, then the Buckingham Presbyterian parking lot would fill very quickly, and then people would still be turning in there. Plus, it was a matter of mobility and safety. So at this time, figure, okay, let's try this for the next, let's say next 3-5 years, see how this works, because with the visual clearance, folks will have no reason to, and again, we'll have the signs and anything we can do, and assuming that any business down there wants to put something out on the sidewalk or any other thing to attract people, I think it'll be very natural movement to extend down there. I mean, the businesses themselves are attracting people now. And a few years ago, there was nothing.
That is true. As I said, we appreciate the fact that the stage is going to be moved. I was here some 5 years ago or so when you instructed them to move the stage so that it didn't block the north-south view. And the following event, which oddly enough I believe was Oktoberfest that year, it wasn't.
Because I did it for Oktoberfest, and there was no event after that until the next year, and that was a chamber.
And it did bring an increase in business to my business, but I believe that there were very few retail businesses at that end of the street at the time. I mean, you had a doctor's office, a newspaper, an exercise place.
There historically, has been about 2 or 3, and there's now 11.
Right.
So it's very significant to the overall Main Street.
But the event right after that, it went right back across the street.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hope that doesn't happen after October for next year. It'll be right back across the end of Main Street again.
And again, this is the assuming that most of us are still alive in here, the conversation we had with the Economic and Community Development Director, the Police Chief, Town Administrator, myself, we don't see us going back. We're just looking, let's get to this level and then see where it develops over time. And, and again, this was not a discussion that was held when it was done before. It's kind of one of those things where you grow into situations, and we're not saying we want to keep it the same, but we feel that this gives the best opportunity to to see how businesses respond, how the our people who attend the special events respond, and how the traffic's managed. Then after we've done that a while, we may need to do something else. But I guess it's kind of how to say we got to walk before we run. No, but we appreciate it. And listen, we're very excited. I mean, we're very this whole downtown revitalization effort, which took a long time, and really accelerated when we got our Main Street designation, which took years, and we got that in 2008. It's made a world of difference, but it's not just us. It's obviously the community, our guests, our residents, and business people believing that this is a good investment. So, and you obviously were on the front part of the Southern Main Street revitalization, but I don't think it's done. I think it has potential for years to come, but how fast I can't say. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes. Anyone else? Okay. Do we have any questions or from the